Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning and welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda. I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory,
says in Romans 10:14-15 in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. At this time, I will play a selection and I will come back with a word from the Lord. Unfortunately, Apostle Mother Wiggins could not be with us today. She's a little bit under the weather. Praise God. So we are going to keep her in prayers. Amen.
And unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever. Amen.
Hallelujah. your praise, somebody. He's worthy of our praise. Begin to worship his name today. The angels and the 24 elders and the four living creatures bow before him. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And we, the children of God, today we say hallelujah to your name, God.
Amen. And now it is time for the word. Praise be to God. First, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, every good and perfect gift comes from you. We have plenty to eat, warm homes, enjoyable jobs, good health, loving families, and a caring church family. We thank you for every good and perfect gift you send our way. Help us to trust you and to practice being generous. Help us to give sacrificially, to give more than you require, so we can meet the material and spiritual needs of others, and so that you may receive praise and honor in Jesus' name. Now, Lord God, move self out of the way and allow your word to come to your people. Praise be to God. Again, our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins will not be with us this morning. She's a little bit under the weather, and we're going to keep her lifted up in prayers. Amen. Praise God. Okay. My scripture reading for this morning is coming from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And this these verses is talking about how Jesus calmed the storms. Okay. 35 says, Mark 4, 35 through 41. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we are going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence. Be still." Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. So may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. The title of my message is One Night Upon the Sea. It has been a long and difficult day for the Lord Jesus. He has sat in a ship just off the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He had used that ship as his pulpit as he preached to the great multitude that had gathered to hear him. When the day was over, he called his disciples and set sail for the other side of the lake. When darkness fell, the disciples were making their way across that little lake while they headed for the other shore. And just as Jesus lay fast asleep in the rear of the ship, he was weary from the business of the day. Now, most of these men were used to being on the Sea of Galilee at night. They were, after all, fishermen. And that's what fishermen do. They fish out on the lake all day, all night, most of the time. But some events would occur this night that would change their lives and their perception of the Lord Jesus. Now, these men found themselves in the storm of their lives. They experienced the Lord's power to deliver them, and they lived to tell the tale. Now, I want to travel with them as they cross the Sea of Galilee. I want to do so because their experience has much to teach us today. There is a sense in which we are all involved in a journey today, and we are sailing toward an unseen port. As we sail, storms will rise and toss our little vessels. In other words, when our trials and tribulations come, they will be tossing us to and fro, but we must stay strong in the Lord. We will often think the storms are going to destroy us, but I want you to know that your storms were not sent to destroy you, but to develop you. So let's join the Lord and his men as they spend one night upon the sea, making their way across the Sea of Galilee. I want to point out some priceless observations from this passage and preach on the subject, One Night Upon the Sea. It was a night of great dangers, and verse 37 says, as Jesus and his men sailed across the Sea of Galilee that night, they found themselves engulfed in a terrible storm. I would like for us to examine the storm for a few minutes today, this morning. The suddenness of the storm. So we're going to talk a little bit about the suddenness of the storm. Now, there arose a great storm of wind. Storms like this are very common on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is an unusual body of water. It is relatively small, 13 miles long, 7 miles wide, but it is 150 feet deep, and the shoreline is 680 feet below sea level. Because the Sea of Galilee is below sea level and is surrounded by mountains, it is susceptible to sudden storms. Winds sweeping across the land come up and over the mountains, creating downdrafts over the lake, combined with a thunderstorm that appears suddenly over the sounding mountains. The water stirs into violent 24-foot waves. The sea can be calm 1 minute and violent the next. Now, these storms usually do not happen at night. So these men did not set out in a storm, and they did not expect one either. But a storm came anyway. That's the way life today. Things can be fine one moment, and the next, the bottom falls out. One minute you can be enjoying fair weather, the next minute you find yourselves in the middle of a terrible, horrible storm. One phone call, one 24-hour period of time, one doctor visit, one tick of the clock, and there you are in the storm of your life. This suddenly surprised us. The Bible says that, hey, the storms will come our way. Job 14:1, Ecclesiastes 2:23, and John 16:33 said so. In fact, you are in one of three places today. You are either in a storm, just coming out of a storm, or even headed into a storm. Sudden storms are part of our lives. The severity of the storm, let's talk about a little bit about that. Now, the ship was now full. Then these seasoned fishermen are frightened by the serenity of this storm. The ship is rocking and reeling. It is full of water, and they are afraid it is about to sink. It was a violent storm, and it was the night time too. They could not see where they are or how close they were to the shore. And the other ships around them, they were in the terrible danger, and they feared for their lives. And again, this is a lot like what we face in the storms of life. When they come, they are often severe and causes us great anguish and pain. The storms of suffering blow into our lives and devastate us with heartache, heartbreak, and turmoil. Now, one problem will arise after another, and they will bury us under a blizzard of affliction. Many could testify about the storms of suffering. Others face storms of sorrow. Someone you love is called away by death, and it leaves you grief-stricken and shaken by your loss. Sorrow touches every life. Jesus was in their boat, and they were still afflicted by a storm of sorrow. I heard about a woman one time that had some sorrow in her life, and she just couldn't seem to get over it. So someone advised her to go to one of the wise men in the village. She went to him, and she explained her sorrow, and she could not seem to get over it. So he gave her a big pile of feathers, and he said to her, "I want you to just go and knock on the door and give a feather to every person you talk to in every home where there is no sorrow." And after a few days, she came back with her pile of feathers, and she hadn't given away a single one, and she came to understand. It is well. She came to understand that sorrow is common to all, not just to her alone, but to all of us. Sorrow knocks at every heart. Sorrow makes its way into every home. The storms of life come severely into every life. Sometimes there are storms of sorrow. Still others are engulfed in a storm of sin. When sin enters our hearts, it always comes in as a pleasant, calm breeze. It promises us the best, but it soon displays its darker side. It will rip through your life, leaving a trail of damage and destruction that can only be repaired by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his forgiveness. Some are in that storm today. So the storms come and they bring with them fear, anxiety, and pain. I just want you to know that there is no storm on the earth that heaven cannot calm. There is no problem so great that Jesus cannot fix. Bring that storm to him and watch him deal with it. The source of the storm. Where did this storm come from? It may have been natural. After all, as I have already shared, the Sea of Galilee was susceptible to storms of this nature. However, it came at the night that was extremely rare. God might have sent it. He could have sent this storm for the very purpose teaching. Now, these men to trust in Jesus, or the storm could have been satanic in origin. When Jesus calmed the storm in verse 39 and said, "Be still," it is the same word that is translated, "Hold thy peace," in Mark 1 and 25. The word means to be muzzled. It has the ideal of muzzling a violent animal. When Jesus used that word in Mark 1 and 25, he was using it to command demons to be quiet. Perhaps this storm was an attempt by Satan to destroy the Lord Jesus. The Bible does not tell us the source of this storm. The storm, the same storms in our own lives can come from various sources. Sometimes the storms are our own fault. We do things that get us into trouble, and we all been there and done that, and we have to pay the price. If you don't believe me, just read the book of Jonah. God said, "Go." Jonah said, "No." God said, "Whoa." Jonah said, "Oh." Sometimes we cause the storms. Sometimes God sends the storms. Why would he do that? Sometimes he does it. To discipline us and draw us closer to him. Now, this was the case with David after he had sinned with Bathsheba in 2 Samuel 11:12. And sometimes he does it to teach us to trust him more deeply. This was the case with Job and all that was forced to endure, or that he was forced to endure. And when God sends the storms, it is always to draw us closer, not push us away, but to draw us closer to him. Now, once there was a little boy who had a boat, and he was sailing that boat out on a small pond. As he did, the boat got a little too far away from him. It was further away from the shore than the boy was able to reach. So the boy took some rocks and started throwing the rocks just on the other side of his boat. And as he did, he created waves, and each wave, each rock brought the boat just a little bit closer back to him. And eventually, it was so close that he was able to reach out and claim his boat. Then there are times when the storms are satanic in origin. Satan will whip up a storm in your life to defeat you and drive you away from the Lord. And he will do everything in his power to destroy you and your faith in God. We have a real enemy who is seeking to defeat and destroy God's children, and he will do whatever it throw you off course with God. 1 Peter 5:8, thankfully, Satan is limited in his ability to torment us by the sovereign will of God. It was a night of great danger. Now, verses 35 and 38 tells us it was a night of great doubts. Now, the greatest storm that might was not on the Sea of Galilee, but in the hearts of the disciples. Now, this storm on the sea whipped up a storm of doubt within them that threatened to drown them all. While the storm is raging around them, Jesus is fast asleep in the back of the boat. They run to him and wake him up, and the word awaken means to rouse from sleep. It was used to speak of a calm sea that was just beginning to be agitated. I believe the Bible is telling that they went to where he was sleeping, and they began to shake him to wake him up. These men are terrified and have lost all hope of ever surviving this storm. Doesn't take long for us to panic when we're in a time of storm. So let's examine the doubts of these men today. They doubted his concern for them. Carest thou not? They accused the Lord of not caring about what they were facing. Why this doubt? After all, they had already seen Jesus conquer devils, diseases, and depravity in Mark 1:22-12. Now they are faced with a storm and they are afraid. They should have known that a puff of wind on a little pond could not throw sovereign omnipotence. Do you know what their problem was? They were looking at the situation and not at the Savior. They had their thoughts on facts and not on faith. Before we go too hard on these men, perhaps we should consider our own hearts. Have there been times when the storms are raging in your life that you have questioned God's concern for you? You might not have said it out loud, but I am sure there have been times when your flesh has cried, Lord, don't you care about what is happening to me? We have all been there at times. I just want you to know today that he does care. He cares more than you could ever know. Hebrews 4:15-16, he cares. And he is doing something about the situation, even though you might not see it now. Don't question his concern. He really does care. They doubted his commitment to them. We perish. Remember, it was Jesus who had sent them out unto the sea in the first place. These men had left everything to follow Jesus, and now he has led them into an impossible, dangerous situation. They are afraid that Jesus is just going to let them all die. Jesus did not save you to abandon you. When the going gets a little tough, he is absolutely committed to you and your will, and his will never, and he will never forsake you. Hebrews 13:5, the word leave means to let sink. The word forsake means that he won't abandon you, desert you, or leave you under any circumstances. When are you going to get it through your head? When the storm is raging, when your boat is rocking and wheeling, when the adverse winds are blowing, when the waves are crashing against your vessel, he will not let you sink. He will hold you up and never desert you under any circumstances. The Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely committed to you and me. So don't doubt him. The city of Jerusalem once felt forsaken by the Lord. Here is what they said. And what the Lord said in reply. But Zion, said the Lord, hath forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. Isaiah 49:14-16. If the Lord would love the nation of Israel, whom he has redeemed out of Egypt, how much more will he love and protect his own church, whom he has redeemed by the blood of his son, darling son? He is committed to you and me. The doubt, they double doubted his comments to them. Let us pass over unto the other side. Jesus had already told these men what was going to happen. He told them before the journey started that they were headed to the other side of the lake. If they had believed his word, they could have shouted in the face of the storm. But we are often no different. We're no different today. The Lord has already promised us that everything is going to be all right. And he said that in Romans 8:28, Genesis 50:20, 2 Corinthians 4:15-17, Romans 8:18. He has promised us that he will take care of us. Matthew 6:25-34, Luke 12:32. If we could just learn to take him at his word, then we could face the storms of life without fear. We can understand who controls the storms. We could have peace even while the winds blew and the waves crashed. Praise God. A young military officer and his young bride were married. They sat out on a honeymoon voyage, and while they sailed, a violent storm began to beat against their vessel. The young bride became very frightened by the storm, but her new husband was not afraid, and she became irritated with him because he wasn't afraid like she was. After a while, he took his sword, pulled it out of his sheath, and put the point of the sword on the throat of his new bride. And she looked up at him and she smiled. He said, "You're not afraid." She said, "Oh no, I'm not afraid of a sword when it's in the hands of the one who loves me." And then she got the point. You don't have to be afraid of a storm when it's in the hands of one who loves you. There is one who rules over land and sea. There is one who has the power to calm the storms that arise in your life. And you and I need not fear the storm when our gracious, loving, heavenly Father is in control. It was a night of great danger. It was a night of great doubt. Verses 39-41, it was a night of great discoveries. When they roused Jesus from sleep or woke him up from his sleep, he began to work. As he did, they made some precious discoveries about the Lord. These are discoveries that we need to know about as well. As we face the storms of our lives, it will help us to know all we can about one who rides in our vessel, about the power of the Lord. Now, this storm that so terrified these men posed no problem for the Lord Jesus. He rebuked the winds and spoke to the sea. When he did, the winds fell silent and the sea became as a sheet of glass. Just as easy as he had healed the sick and cast out the devils, he was able to control the storm. The Lord we serve still has the same power today. Your storm is no problem for him. He can silence it with a word if he so desire. He may, however, desire to allow the storm to rage. When he does this, he is well able to protect you in the midst of the storm, just like he did with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel in the lion's den. About the promise of the Lord, just as he said, they passed over. They learned that he was as good as his word. He still is. Everything he has promised, he will do. He will not back away from any promise he has made in this book. about the presence of the Lord. When the Lord is in your vessel, you have an advantage. The Bible says in verse 36 that there were also with him other little ships. There were many boats on that sea that night, but only one contained the Lord of glory. That boat was the place to be. As we sail on the sea of life, we need to remember that we are in this thing. We are all on the sea. We are all in our boat, and we all voyage together. We need to be sure that Jesus rides with us in our vessel. Having Jesus in your vessel makes all the difference. They were able to call on him because he was with them. They were able to see him move in power because he was with them. They were able to experience his peace because he was with them. Is his in your vessel? Is he in your vessel? If he isn't, how do you weather the storms that arise in your life if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life? Now, about the purpose of the Lord, the storm taught these men something, a lesson they could have learned no other way. It would have been nice if they would simply have believed him after seeing him do all the great things he did in chapters 1 and 2. It would have been great if they could have taken the things the Lord did for others and apply it to their own lives. If they could have said, you know, if Jesus can heal a leopard, cure Peter's mother-in-law, cast out devils, heal that guy with the palsy, and forgive his sins, then I am sure that he can take care of this storm too. But they seemed unable to process that information and apply it to their own lives. So he sent them into this storm to teach them to trust him. Praise be to God. I'm running over time. What about us? We have the Bible. It tells us all the things he has done and can do. We have testimony of others around us. We have seen what he has done for them. We have even seen him move in our lives. Wouldn't it be great if we could just trust him? We don't. So he uses the storm to teach us that we can lean on him and trust him to take care of us. When they arrived in Gadara, they saw that demon-possessed man. I wonder if they doubted him after the storm when they saw Jairus come for help for his daughter. And even when she died, I wondered if they said, I believe he can take care of this. I think the storm increased their faith that may have been the purpose all along. If it wasn't the purpose, the Lord surely used it in that fashion. He does the same for us. When we come to Mark 6 and 48 through 51, there you find these same men in another storm again. They are afraid. They are still filled with doubt once again, but this time Jesus is not with them in the boat. Again, they are filled with doubt and fears. Jesus comes to them and steals their storm. They are taught another valuable lesson. Even when you cannot see him, he is still watching and working on your behalf. Sometimes he sends the storms to educate us and to teach us to trust his purpose is not to hurt us, but to grow us. Can always trust the Lord to do the right, to do right in the storms of your life. Okay, I think I'm going to, let's see, it's 10:56. And up 3 minutes. I'm finished. Okay, I will conclude this. About the peace of the Lord, while they are fretting and fearing, what is the Lord doing? He is sleeping. Why? He knows that he is in the center of his Father's will. He knows that he will die on a cross and not in a ship. He can sleep during the storm because he trusts his Father to take care of him. If a situation doesn't rattle the Lord, we should not allow it to rattle us either. And nothing rattles him. Amen? About the person of the Lord, when Jesus calmed the sea, they were amazed and said, "What manner of man is this?" They learned that he is the one who is in control of every puff of wind, every angry wave, and every storm. He is a good man to know. He can curl the waves, lasso the winds, and hug tight the storm. Do you know him today? I don't know about your storm, but I know who can steal it. If it is a storm of suffering, he can ease your pain. If it is a storm of sorrow, he can comfort your soul. If it is a storm of sin, he can deliver you and set you free. Do you need to hear Jesus say, "Peace, be still," to your storm? If you do, bring it to him and watch him work. Amen. I pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it was unto me. And again, I just want to say that now is the time, and we're all going through our own storms. But we don't have to be afraid because Jesus is right there with us in that storm. Amen. Praise God. So if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. All you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And now you just ask and pray to the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible teaching church. Amen. So before we have our very own Barbara Amore come with our poetry, I'm just going to give the benediction, and following that, our very own Barbara Moore will come with our poetry. Praise God. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all times, and in the present and beyond all times. And let us all say amen. Praise God. Amen. And now at this time, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap. Praise. Amen. Praise. God bless you, Sister Barbara. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you. Praise Amen. God.
Glad your message this morning.
Oh, thank you. Oh, praise God. Pastor Kathy is here. Okay.
Amen. I'll be coming from my book, The Profundity of God.
Mm-hmm.
This poem is entitled, Take It, Oh God. My God, when I think about how good you are to me, I just want to scream. Sometimes I can hardly stand it. I reflect on the things you have done in my life. God, truly, you are something else. I know you to be long-suffering with your love, your faithfulness, your favor, your mercy and grace, my deliverance from strife, giver of a second chance, more than thrice. It makes me want to cry out, why? No, Lord, I'm your child, but you know I'm not worthy. And in spite of me, you love me. You died for me. You saved and redeemed me. You led me. You gently guided me. You know me, and still, you came to save me, a sinner. You did it all for me so that I may be blessed and have the privilege to live eternally with you, God the Father, and you, Christ Jesus. Yes, I know you did it all for me, unselfishly, without repentance, with the shedding of your precious blood. You died for me on the cold, cruel cross. Yes, you gave your life for me. Lord, if I had 10,000 tongues, I could not thank you enough. I can never repay you for your sacrifice, the price you paid for my salvation, for my life. But I thank you. God, Master, Lord, Jesus Christ, Jehovah, Holy Spirit, Redeemer, Savior, Abba Father, Daddy, soon coming King, Yahweh, and I give to you all that I have. Take it. Here's my heart. Amen.
Wow, that was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Praise be to God.
You.
Thank you so much for that. Take it. Go ahead.
Take it, oh God.
Take it, oh God. Yes. So thank you. Thank you again for that beautiful poetry. And now we are going to get ready to go into talk in the sanctuary with our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap. Praise. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. God bless you, Pastor Kathy. How are you this morning?
God bless you, dear heart. Doing awesome, thank you.
Praise God. It's in your hands.
You know what? Every time they do the... can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you said I'm mute. Okay. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I was getting ready to say, every time they do a call to salvation, they ought to have Sister Barbara read that poem.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, that poem is beautiful.
When they do the call to salvation, they need to change the whole poem and say, Sister Barbara, come on, do the call to salvation. And all she got to do is read that poem.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
There's a lot of meat in that. There's a lot of meat in that. You know, and while the person's sitting there enjoying the poetry, they're also being drawn into a relationship with God.
Amen.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Yes.
Absolutely beautiful. Precious and Heavenly Father, just want to say thank you this morning, oh God. Thank you for allowing us to see another day. Thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. We love you. We honor you. We adore you, oh God. Don't ever, ever, ever stop whispering into our spirit the direction you would have us to take. We just ask that you come into this talk, our God. Have your way. Lead and guide us in the way you would have us to go. Have us to hear your voice, oh God, that we would get guidance for our daily lives. We love you, we honor you, we adore you. We ask all of these blessings in the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Praise
God. God bless all of you. Thank God for the fivefold leaders. We thank God for the visionary, Apostle R.D. Wiggins, his lovely bride, Lady Nadine. Thank God for Apostle Mother Wiggins. Thank God. Oh, she is such a joy. Every time we think about her, we like, okay, she's in the background going, I'm yet holding on.
Yes,
God. She's going, I'm yet holding on. Well, keep on keeping on. That's what the songwriter said. Keep on keeping on. We thank God for our very own Sister Barbara. Thank God for Evangelist Hilda, all the work that she's putting into to make sure that the programs still go forth. God bless you, dear heart. Thank God for all of the fivefold leaders that have gone in other directions. Thank God for all of you that have joined us today, whether you are on the internet, telephone, however you saw fit to join in. We thank God for your presence. We don't take it lightly. And we pray that every time you get hooked up with Pray One for Another, you will hear something that encourages you to walk this way, which way, this way, which way, this way. Jesus said, I am the way. That's the way we're talking about. So we thank God for all of you. And we pray that you, every time you get hooked up to us on the line, you get something out of it. Amen. God bless you guys. Okay. Today is Apostle Mother Wiggins on the line.
No, she's not with us this morning.
Is she okay?
She's okay, just a little bit under the weather, but she's fine. I talked to her this morning.
Okay. I know it's getting chilly or whatever over there.
Yes,
so.
The weather changing.
Yeah, so we bless God. Today we are going to talk about what we eat.
Oh,
here's the thing. Here's the thing. During the pandemic, we understand that the pandemic changed everybody's lifestyle. They can't do this, can't do this, can't go here, can't go there. Well, while you're stuck in the house or wherever you are, what are you eating? There's lots of ways to kill yourself, and some people don't even pay attention. The way you eat could be slowly killing you. So we're going to talk about what are we eating with all this going on with the pandemic and everything. What are we eating? Christians, what are you eating? What are you eating? And here's the thing. if you feel like when you get up in the morning, you don't want to get out of bed, you're all tired and everything, you know, you're feeling all sluggish, weighed down, you don't have a whole lot of energy, what are you eating? Because guess what? You can't leave the house. And the ones that do leave the house, I mean, some people can leave the house and go to their jobs and things. But the ones that are confined to staying home and in that little block radius or whatever, how you can't get too much exercise in. So what are you eating? Because there's a way to get energy and you don't even have to exercise. So what are you eating? Let's start thinking about what are we eating? And there is something that's going to give us, that we can eat, that give us so much energy. So let's start with Sister Barbara. Sister Barbara, on a daily basis, consistent basis, what do you think that you're eating that could be weighing your body down or may not be good for you?
Well, I try to eat, you know, one, no more than two meals a day. But at the end of the day, I like to have peppermint as I retire. And I think that I need to give it up. I said I'm addicted to them, and I'll give them up for a while, and then I'll get, you know, a taste, or somebody will give me one, and then I'm off and running again. I want peppermint. So if I can get those out of my life, I think that it helped me a lot. Because I think I'm allergic to them, or the sugar or something has me, like, itching a lot of times. So I think I need to get rid of that.
Oh, wow. That's a harsh peppermint. This one said, I got a kick to have it with my peppermint. Woo! Okay. Yeah, that might be. If it's got you itching and stuff, you might want to pull. You know what? Do like everybody else do when they're trying to kick the habit. If you can't just come off it right away, then do it slowly. I used to have five. Now I have four. I used to have four. Now I eat three.
I do that too.
And then you go back to 10.
I go back to 6. I do 3, then I go back to 6. So.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Okay. Evangelist Hilda, what's some of the things that you eat that you feel like weighs you down or you're not supposed to eat?
Let's see. Heavy food, like I, for breakfast, I like to order Spanish food, right? Which consists of what they call them, crushed bananas or plantains, whatever, the crushed ones. And the egg and the cheese and the salami. Oh, my goodness. That is so good and so filling. And when you, and a big cup of coffee. And when you finish eating that, it fills you up for almost the whole day until dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
It does. It fills me. And then right after I finish eating all of that, then I want to go and lay down because now I'm, I want to sleep. You know, I got the itis.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
but
wow.
I love
chocolate. That will wear you down.
Oh, yes, it does. It really does. But it's very filling, and it keeps you full all day, especially, you know, like if you have things in the house to do so you don't have to worry about being hungry. If you eat that one good heavy meal, and then you don't worry about the rest of the day.
Okay,
and
that's a
me.
Good way to look at it.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, I know I eat all the wrong things, but I'm trying to control it. Like, since the pandemic, I don't go out and, you know, buy as much food as I used to. Because then now I don't really feel that hungry to really eat. I will eat sometimes once a day or whenever my stomach tells me it's time to put something in it.
Mm-hmm.
But like when I want to relax and sleep at night. Oh, man, give me a bar of chocolate. I don't care what kind of chocolate, as long as it's chocolate. And believe it or not, I eat that chocolate bar, and I will go in my bed, and about 5 minutes later, I am knocked out.
Okay.
Yeah, chocolate calms me down, especially if I'm anxious or nervous about something. Chocolate, piece of chocolate just calms my nerves.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anybody else on the line?
No.
Okay. I know that prior to the thing was running out, I was eating everything. I was just eating. And the thing that gets me is I gotta have cookies, I gotta have chips. I didn't necessarily have to have candies, but I had to have cookies, had to have chips.
Especially those
and
cookies.
This was I eat big meals, all kind of meals. And then I want my cookies and chips. Right?
Okay.
But then it's like a Pepsi to some people because it washes everything down or something. I don't know. But the thing about it is all of that stuff weighs our body down. And believe it or not, I used to, I had this sister that she was telling me to start eating a bunch of vegetables. And I was like, yuck, no, I don't think so. And she was like, oh. And I'll get a little bit graphic, not much, but I'll get a little. She said, okay, watch till you go boo-boo. You'll see the difference. I go, girl, you're going too far. So I tried it. I started eating a couple of vegetables, and I didn't do it exactly like she said. I started put a little bit of melted butter on it with salt and pepper, or I would put some cheese on it, you know, just to give it some taste, because every vegetable don't taste good. Now, cabbage and butter beans and those things, I love those things. And so I try to eat the vegetables with a little bit of butter or with a little cheese on it. And I'm telling you, the crazy part is when you eat that much vegetables all week long, you will see the difference in your stool. You really will. And I went, oh, my God, what does that mean? That lets you know how you're eating.
Yes.
Your urine and your stool will tell you whether or not you're eating the right thing. Because the darker it is, you know, y'all know the story. And I'm going, I never even paid any attention. I just figured, you know, hey, all of it's nasty, so I don't look, you know. But my thing is, there's something that we can eat, and I know a lot of the exercise people say, the more vegetables you eat, going to give you energy, it is going to make you feel good. And you know what? It's not really that the vegetables are giving you energy. It's that when you pull back off the meat and the bread, it's not draining your energy.
Right. Right.
So it seems like the vegetables and all these things are giving you energy, when really, because you're not eating the meat or you're not eating the bread, it's not draining your energy anymore. Because when you eat meat, it stays in the body a lot longer than a vegetable. You know what I'm saying? So that means the meat and stuff is really pulling on your energy. It's got you feeling like, I got to take a nap. Oh, that was a good meal. You just want to chill, you know? And then the first day, you ain't paying it no attention. You go, I just want to lay down, chill. I had a good meal. Second day, I'll sit here and watch some TV, and then you doze off. And by 2 weeks' time, you realize, uh-oh, how did this get so tight? I just had this on the other day.
Exactly.
No, you didn't have it on the other day. You had it on last month. So now you're feeling like things are getting a little bit bigger. You know, and you're like, oh, my God, are you a little bit tighter on you because you've gotten a little bigger? And you're going, oh, my God, this is craziness. I know I just had this on. Take long to gain weight. It takes forever to get it off.
That's right.
But
absolutely.
It takes long to gain it.
Mm-mm.
So there I am. I'm looking, and I'm going, God, you got to tell us what to eat. You got to show us how to eat right. He said, I've been telling you. I've been showing you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what? Because, man, look, man cannot survive on bread alone. We got to have something else, Lord Jesus. And when I say bread alone, he says he's the bread of life. So I'm saying, okay, what else can we eat? Because we can't survive on bread alone. That's what Jesus told Satan. He says, you know, man, So, but my thing is, yes, when you get into that word, it energizes you. It just perks you up and all of this. But after you finish with that and you're all perky and you're happy, that only lasts a little while, just like Chinese food. It only lasts a little while. Then you start looking for something else to get you back to where you just came from, feeling good or happy. Ready to take on life. You're not going to read the word all day. You're not going to sit there reading the Bible all day long. No, because you're still in this body. And this body is going to crave other things.
That's right.
So, you know, we know that water is good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Water is one of the best things for us. Not only is it a cleanser, it'll clean out stuff in you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's also a purifier, all of those things. So we know we don't drink as much water as we should. Wait, I got to take a time out. Who got that dog?
I do.
You got a dog?
Yes, I got a Mookie. He's so cute. He's a little
tiny. You got
a
Mookie?
Mookie. You know, I'm all and he's so cute.
You got a dog. Okay, so how does the dog get out to go take care of his business when there's a pandemic?
He's a puppy. I have a terrace.
Okay. Oh, that's as far as you take him?
He's not an outdoor dog. He's an indoor dog. You know, I don't want him walking all out on the streets and all that kind of stuff. No way.
So you don't take him outside?
Nope. I let him run up and down in the hallway because I have a very long hallway. So I let him run up and down there. And then I clean his feet when he comes in.
Okay, and then he go on a terrace.
Right now he's only 11 weeks old, so I have wee-wee pads. That's what they call them.
Oh, my
wee-wee
God.
Pads.
Really?
Yes, really.
So he got to wear a pamper.
Heck no. You put the paper on the floor, and he knows to go. And he's he know which one to go to do number one and which one to go to do number two.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm training him.
I know I heard a dog in the background. I was just wondering, that's all.
But
would you believe,
Pastor Kathy, just now was the first time he ever barked? The whole time I had him. He never barked. And until just now, when I won't let him come over where I am, because I'm in my, you know, computer room, so I don't have him come over here because I don't want him chewing the wires.
Mm-hmm.
So he started barking at me because I said to him, no. It's like a little... It's like having another child. Yeah.
It's definitely like having a child, because now you got a fan for him, you got a baby him, you got to take care. Yeah.
Listen, he loves to get up in my lap and let me rub his tummy and his forehead and his ears.
Well, if nothing else, he does keep you company.
Yes, he does. He's my baby.
Yeah.
He goes where I go.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, so let's get back to the things that we eat and how we can do better in what we eat. Because I know a lot of times when you're at home, you want to eat all those things that are not good for you because it makes you feel good having to stay in the house. You want something sweet. You want some kind of cookie. You know, you want all of the things that is not healthy for you. So how do we get to a place where we change what we eat because we're indoors?
I don't know. I wish somebody would tell me how. Because I'm going I'll eat it.
If I can help you with that, my thing is don't buy it. If you don't bring it in the house, you won't have it.
Right. That's one of the things that I cut down on doing.
Okay, if you don't bring it in the house, you won't have it, right?
Right.
Yes, unless you go out and get it anyway. Or send somebody for it, you won't have it. Don't buy it.
You won't have it. Well, guess what? It changes your mood, doesn't it?
What?
Some people, it does.
Like, when you don't have sugar or you don't have anything sweet or you don't have potato chips or something like that, does it not affect your mood?
Yeah. I don't know. You're the one with the mood with the chips and the, you know, I don't get that. That doesn't bother me. I'm not attached
to
it.
Okay,
but
what about with the peppermint when you don't get a peppermint?
Like I said, I like to have them just before I retire, you know, before I go to bed.
Right.
And if I don't have them, I'll look for something else, like a cough drop or, you know, something else, or gum. You know, it's just I want something else as I retire. That's what it is. And I try to, you know, get rid of the gum before I go to sleep. But, yeah, you just substitute it for something else, or you just do without. I've done without many times.
And that's what you're right, Sister Barbara, because that's what I do when I don't have chocolate. I'll substitute it with cough drops, because that's the only other candy that I have in the house is cough drops or chocolate. And when I run out of chocolate, I just substitute it with the cough drop, just like you say.
But you still got to have sugar before you go to bed, because that's what that is.
Well, what I
like
do
I
is,
said,
if
I don't
have
it,
right.
You know, you just do it out.
You don't have a choice.
Go get some water.
Unless you
want to
get up.
Brush your teeth. You know,
unless you're
going
to get up in the middle of the night and go outside to those 24-hour grocery stores, that's the only way you're going to. I'm sorry, I'm not getting up at that time to go get no chocolate.
No.
I don't get up and go to the stores that time of night, but I certainly keep all the things I want to eat right by my bed.
Oh, no. You addicted. You addicted.
I could be in a dead sleep, and I'll wake up and eat a cookie. I'll reach my hand over. My eyes are not even open. I'll reach my hand over, grab a cookie, or I'll get the tater chips and I'll eat them. And fast feeding a child. What in the world? Huh?
What kind of cookies are you in love with?
Oreos.
I like them too.
Me too.
The vanilla Oreos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the thin one. Somehow when they get thicker, they lose the taste that they had when they was thinner.
Yeah, they have too much of that cream in it.
Too,
and I don't like all that.
I don't like it. So
I like the regular ones. I don't like the overstuffed, the double stuffed ones.
I don't like the double stuffed ones.
Huh?
I said, I don't like the double stuffed ones either.
I don't like the thin ones. I like the regular ones.
Yep.
And they got some now the lemon ones. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Steve brought me some one day, and they were lemon. And I went, no, I wanted vanilla. But I tasted it, and I went, okay, this is going to have to suffice. But it didn't have that same taste I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to do something we don't have to get rid of our sweets or the things that we like. We just got to take less of it.
Right.
Less of
right?
it.
That's it.
Yeah, we got to take more of the healthier stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, the vegetables and stuff. Some of those vegetables are really good.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
don't know why. When I was younger, I did not like lima beans.
Not the lima beans.
And now they done changed it. They say butter beans. And I'm going, isn't that still a lima bean?
They have both. They have both.
Yeah, you got both. The limas are usually green. The butter beans are usually like beige.
Yes, beige white.
Mm-hmm. But I like both. And you know something, too? It depends on what it's seasoned with.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Lima beans, I can have some butter on them. I don't have to have meat in them. You know, I don't eat pork, so if I don't have smoked meat in them, I can just have some butter on them. That's good to me.
Yeah, it does taste good with the butter.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, because, and you know, the days that you got to stay in, and I listened to Mother. Mother was in the house for 2 years, you know. But anybody that has to stay in the house that long, what are you going to do? You're going to eat. There's nothing else to do. You're going to watch TV. You're going to eat. You know,
well,
you might get on.
She's not a TV watcher. That's why the half of the time she don't know what's going on. But when it comes to the Bible and, you know, going on, what's that, YouTube to listen to different ministries and stuff. Now, that's what you find her.
Or maybe she's
writing.
Don't forget.
She look at a lot of them. I mean, I have movies and things, tapes and tapes and tapes of African movies. But Mother looks at those things, you know, on YouTube. So she's not really a TV person. And eating, she will go the whole day. She don't usually have her breakfast until she finish on Block Talk. That's when she's having breakfast.
What do you mean on Saturday morning?
No, that's every day.
Oh, so you mean after 7 o'clock?
Yeah.
After 8 o'clock?
Yeah, that's her.
Well, day. Y'all get on at 4 o'clock, don't you? Don't you get on at 4?
No, we're on from 6 to 8.
Oh, my God. That's when she eats?
But what time does she get up?
No, she will eat her breakfast at like maybe 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, so she needs to work. By 8 o'clock, she's hungry. Nothing's wrong with that. I thought you meant she's fasting all day.
No. Sometimes she says she gets so busy that she forgets to eat. And I used to tell her that's not a good thing because you have to put something in your stomach, even though you are working on your writing or reading the Bible or watching Christian movies or African movies, whatever it is, you know, you got to take care of yourself. You can't go that long without eating. I learned that lesson because I used to get up in the mornings and I would just make a cup of coffee and I would take my medications and drink that coffee, and that is it until the evening time around 7, 8, 9 o'clock is when I will eat something. And which
how can
is
you
not a good
medication
thing.
And you don't eat?
Because the majority of my medication doesn't require food.
Okay.
But when I don't eat, what I do, I take them with milk. So milk coats the stomach lining.
Yeah.
So that's how I can go all day, you know, without feeling hungry or dizzy or whatever.
You know what the whole thing
is? That's not a good thing.
It's not. You know what the whole thing behind what we're eating, the whole thing that it boils down to?
What?
At whatever stage in the game you're in,
mm-hmm.
how are you going to do whatever makes you happy? Right? How are you going to look at life and your day instead of waking up going, oh, God? You know, how are you going to make your day fun? How are you going to enjoy yourself? And a lot of times it does start with the food. You know, sometimes it does depend on the things that you eat because they do weigh down. Some things do weigh down on your body.
Yeah.
But at whatever stage in the game, and you know, they used to say because the older you get, well, this stage in the game, what are you going to do to make yourself happy? How are you going to enjoy your day and not be bombarded with negative thoughts and things that just eat up your mind? Well, nowadays, you got to say it to young people, too. Because some young people, their thoughts are tearing them apart.
Yes.
It's not just old people. It's young people. They got some thoughts that make them go into dark places.
Yeah,
it's hard for them to get out of there.
They have no purpose for their life. No purpose.
And that's it. You got to have plans. You got to have some goals. What do you want to do? You
exactly.
know, on a daily basis, you got to get involved in something.
Yeah.
To just
because
destroy all that negative energy.
Mm-hmm. If you don't, you're just destroying your own mind, body and mind.
And
you know,
only
the brain
you know,
is a thing that you got to feed all the time. Because if you don't feed it, it stays one place.
The thing is, only you know what's that peaceful, what's that calm, what's that special place for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what makes you feel good. I could be having a bad day, and I'll come in and somebody's cooking bacon. I don't know why. The smell of bacon just... My mind would be like, oh, my God, somebody
you're in the food mold.
It's just the way the bacon smells, you know.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, my God.
So
my God.
Good. Mm-hmm.
You know. So those things, even the littlest things, you've got to find out what it is that will take you out of that dark place, take you out of that gloomy place, take you those negative thoughts out of your mind. You know, that's causing you to beat yourself up. What's going to make you feel good? You know, what's going to make you feel happy? And I know that a lot of people say, well, the word makes me feel good, and I heard what you just said about mother. That makes her feel good, you know. She sits there and listens to the word, and it comforts her.
Yes.
You know, but for the people that go out on a daily basis and they face in the world, and they're looking out there, either getting depressed or just looking at all the things going on in the world, we got to find a good place for ourselves to come out of that. Sometimes even the news is depressing.
Oh,
looking at the news is like, oh, God, no, not another one. You know,
mm-hmm.
And then, like, me, I try to find comedy because I love comedy.
Me too. Me too.
I want something to make me laugh.
Yeah.
you know that lady that I told y'all about? She's a Christian. I told you her mother a long time ago. I forgot the lady name. But she is a female Christian comedy lady. And she come out there.
I told you her name was Sister Candelope.
That's her, Candelope. You know? And I'm saying, every now and again, you got to have some cantaloupe coming through there. Because sometimes people get so full of God's word. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, here we go. And it becomes a ritual just going there. Every now and again, throw a little cantaloupe in there to make it fun. Or a play or something to break up the monotony, to make it fun and exciting all over again. Why you think you see them preachers running up and down, flying all across the way? Because they realize when their congregation is going into that mode, where it becomes a ritual, and they're getting tired, and you know, well, you got to do something to perk them back up to make it exciting again.
Yep. Yeah, because God wants us to enjoy life.
He really does. He really
he
does.
He wants us to enjoy the time that we have here on this earth.
She takes all those thoughts, everything that God puts in her mind, and she turns it into poetry.
Yes.
Beautiful. And it's poetry that everyone, whether you're a Christian or not, everyone can enjoy it.
Yep, absolutely. Because a lot of it pertains to everyday life, everyday struggles and what we're going through and how we get through it.
When you go out with your poetry, do you ever go out there and do your poetry where someone's playing music behind you?
Yes.
Oh.
I don't know if I shared it with you, but I have a CD with Apostle Wiggins behind me on 6 poems.
Yeah, and which we never got. You said you was going to let us know when they're out or where we could get them.
I was going to let you know when they're out. They've been out for like 2 years already.
What?
Oh, my God.
And Apostle Wiggins used to play them on the Zoom at the end of certain things. He would play them on Zoom.
Oh, well, he never played any after this service because I didn't ever. The only time I hear your poetry on Zoom is when you do it during service.
No, he's played my CD a couple of times.
Well, I must have not been there then.
CD where you're reading poetry and the music is in the background.
Yes.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
He should get that.
You know what, Sister Barbara? You're right. Because he tried to put them on Block Talk. And for some reason, they didn't come through. I don't know what he did wrong. But all I have on there next to your process, possible, what it says, be encouraged. The one that you have, be encouraged. It's just saying processing auto file. And that's all it did. It doesn't do anything.
Let me say this. What you need is a CD. You don't have a CD.
No.
Yeah, the CD
will
play.
Yeah, but
okay. Well, he needs to try to get the CD so you can start playing it on Lock Talk Radio too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He tried to put them into the lineup with the rest of the songs, but for some reason, whatever he did wrong or Block Talk did wrong, they don't come out. All you get is the lines going across. Like,
don't
you
have
like a candy stripe bus?
Don't you play CDs on the air?
No, I play the music that he put into the program.
Oh, I thought you had CDs when you say I'm going to play number so-and-so. Hold on, let me find whatever. I thought you had
CDs. No, not the natural CDs. It's all the songs that he put into the playlist on Block Talk. I told him he needs to change some of them, put us some new songs in, and he tried with your poetry, and it just don't come through. I don't know, Block Talk, we always have some kind of issues with them. But
just play the CD.
He has to do it because he's in control. I can't do it.
I'll ask him about it because I believe I gave him a CD also. He has the original one, but I gave him the one that was produced, my CD baby. So I asked him. But it's been out for like 3 years, I think since 2018.
Oh, wow.
Wow. We love.
Well, we went through a lot of stuff after that.
As to your original question, yes, I do a lot of my poetry when I do spoken words to in the background, different songs. I even have one that I do over the instrumental of, what's her name? Bacardi? What's her name? Cardi B.
Cardi B?
I have one that I do over Cardi B.
Wow.
And like that. Be careful of me.
That must be so beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's the name of the poem, too. Be careful of me. That's the name of her CD.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Be careful of me?
Be careful of me. Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. We've got to concentrate. You know, I know that taking vegetables will help us. How many people still eat steak and let's see, ribs and all of those things?
I eat steak. I don't eat swine.
You eat, oh, yeah, because they got beef steak, yeah. You don't eat
beef,
swine?
Steak is beef.
No, I'm saying, steak, yeah, because steak is beef, so that's why she can eat that. And I'm saying, you don't eat swine, Barbara?
No, I don't eat swine.
Why not?
Because I have the knowledge of it. I don't eat swine.
Okay. Okay. I was just wondering because I know SDAs don't eat swine either. They eat chicken.
That's right.
Chicken
and fish.
Oh, Seventh-day Adventist. Yeah.
Yeah. Chicken.
No,
and
when
fish.
I was
all vegetarian food,
I got away from swine. Okay, they teach you the knowledge of swine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, don't educate the rest of us.
No, because I love myself some spare ribs, honey. Don't tell us. No,
well, you
what
can get beef ribs. You can get beef ribs.
I don't like the beef ribs. They're too fatty.
I know, that's funny. They taste different than the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
I had a sister that was trying to look into becoming, I don't want to say the religion, but anyway, she was going to become one of them, and they didn't eat swine. And so my father told me, you need to talk to her, you need to talk to her, because that's craziness. She needs to be a Christian. Okay, I'll talk to her. She ain't listening. So I go, and I go, I know what, we had New Year's. So I invited some of the people that she was trying to become like.
Mm.
And I invite them, you know, for dinner and the party and everything. And my father used to make peas and rice with bacon and stuff in it.
Yes.
With coconut.
Yes.
The absolute best. And so when we all sat down and get ready to eat, you know, they brought their own food. Right? So they was like, do you mind if we have our own food? No. No, bring your own food. So they brought their own food, so I had a table set with just their food. And my sister was going to our table to get the beef and rice. And oh, my God, they grabbed a hold of that table, that right down, and they said, you need to go and regurgitate. Get that out of your system. We don't eat swine, my sister. And oh, my God, wrong, wrong, wrong.
That's
she looked at her and said, get out.
Mm.
You don't mess with people while they trying to eat. I said to her, I said, I knew darn well she wasn't going to let y'all stop her from eating that peas and rice. And so then she comes in and she said, why you invite them anyway? I said, I'm trying to make you comfortable so you can have a group of your, you know, your brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know. She said, it's not even in Christ. She said, well, I'm about to eat these peas and rice and better not snatch on my plate again.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, that's kind of wrong. They should just say it to you, not try to grab the plate from you.
Mm-hmm.
And when they saw her eating it, they came to me and told me, well, thanks for having us, but I don't think she's ready. And
right.
I said, she's not ready? she's not ready? And they said, no, she's not ready.
No, she's not.
I said, oh, okay. So they left her. The next thing I know, she grabbed that thing off her head. I said, she's back, y'all. All it took was a roll of rice and beans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and on that note, you got to know what it is you're seeking to be into. You know, if you're not going to be Christianity, you need to know all about what it is you're saying you want to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have the details. You see everybody else running that way. You go, that's what I want to know. You need to know the details of what it is you're trying to get into.
That's right.
You know, don't just join to be joining because it looks good or whatever. You need to know what you're trying. When I was getting into Christianity, trust me, because number one, my grandparents brought us up SDA, Seventh-day Adventist. They brought us up Seventh-day Adventist, where, you know, with the chicken and the fish, and you don't eat no pork. And on Fridays, it was going to be fish, you know, those kind of things. And I was brought up that way. Then you go to my mama's side, and there's Baptist. And it's like, oh, God, what is going on? And then you have to wait till you become an adult until you can see for yourself and make a conscious decision the direction you want to go in Christianity.
Yeah.
I had a stepmom, and she had me in Catholic church. I said, oh, God, all these churches? And then, you know, like I said, when you become an adult, you get to make a conscious decision where you want to be. You know? And then when you come into the knowledge of it, you got to go and explore. Don't just join the place. Go in there. Churches allow you to come in there and just be a visitor.
Absolutely.
So you see if this is where you want to be.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to go in there and they get on and say, anybody that wants to join the church, you stand up. You haven't been there one time.
No.
How do you know that's the place you want to join? You were in there one time. The only thing you did was enjoy the choir.
Yep. That's it.
Only to find out when you come back the next week, that was a visiting choir. And you're going, what happened to y'all's choir? Oh, that wasn't our choir. They was visiting.
Yeah.
Because you get a lot of people join a church because of a choir. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you want to make sure after you done got that appetizer, there's a meal coming behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the appetizer drew you, but the meal is what's supposed to keep you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And a lot of times people come for the choir, and then the pastor get up there, and they're on one dane and everything, and they go, oh, take the Lord at first and it's preaching. And they end up leaving. Because
they
join too soon. They need to make sure. Go ahead.
No, I was saying that you got a lot of churches where the preacher be preaching, and they be saying, oh, and you know what I'm saying. Come on down. Give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. You got on ones like that.
But you know what? The funny thing is there's people out there that enjoy that kind of preaching.
Yes.
So you've got to know which one is for you.
Right.
You've got to know, wow, are you feeling energized when that person is speaking? Is this the place for you? And just because your friend goes there, it may not be the place for you.
For you. That's right. You know how many churches I went to settle into one?
I know I went through a lot. I think I've been to every church out there, Episcopal, Lutheran. I said, oh, my God. You know, and some of them are on a timetable that within 50 minutes the service is over and they're done. And I'm going, okay, where's the rest of the service? And I said, how the Holy Ghost moving and y'all already done clocked out, right, when things are getting warmed up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I know the churches that I enjoy is where the Spirit of the Lord has liberty.
That's right.
I just enjoy going in there, you know, and to see sincerely the Spirit of the Lord moving in the house, the anointing in there, the glory of God raining down over there. So those are the churches that I like. And, you know, when I go into a church and the preacher say something really good and you yell a hallelujah or you just scream and you realize, oh, they don't do that here. They're conservative. You go, oops, you put that one finger up. This ain't where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, that's what, and somebody told me that too. They told me like, oh, you don't have to put your finger up in this church. I'll be like, really? So if the preacher is preaching and I need to go, and if I get up and I'm like put my finger up tends to say excuse me or showing respect, you tell me y'all don't do that here? Yeah.
Not everybody does it, and it's okay. If they hear like you just get up and go, just get up and go. I know that the churches I was in, you put that one thing up, and then they tell you, if you can, go down the wall. Don't try to come down the middle of the aisle because it's distracting. So try to come down the wall so it's a little less distracting. You know, those kind of things. You know, like I said, everybody knows what church is for them.
Right.
Or where they desire to be at, you know, to fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's not going to like the same thing. That's why so many churches out there, you got to have, there's got to be one out there that just rings your bell.
Mm.
You know, there's quite a few out there, even some of the conservative churches I've gone in. I listen to the word, and that preacher is preaching so good, it doesn't matter that nobody's saying anything. That word is still so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can sit there and be quiet and just go through the service, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I learned that a long time ago. When you go to somebody's church, you've got to respect the house that you're in.
Yeah,
you can't come in there with, this is what we do over here, or this is what. No, you've got to respect the house that you're in. If that's not what they do, you got to respect the house to just stay quiet, right down.
That's it.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is, if I go into a conservative church and the word is really, really good, and I know that I like to jump on the screen, hallelujah, oh, my goodness. You know, I know I like to do that. When I'm in a conservative church, I'm going to respect the house.
Yes.
I'm not going to jump on like that because that's out of order.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, even though you give God praise, you're thanking God for that word, it's still out of order in here because that's not the way they do it.
Right.
The word of God and the way you enjoy the word of God is not supposed to be offensive to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you know you're a shouter like me, why would you go in a conservative church? You know you can't shout.
But if the Spirit hits you, you know, you're going to shout.
Exactly.
You're going to shout. And they're
going
to turn around and look at you.
Well,
that's
all
right.
Look, but if you really feel
and
the Spirit.
And some of them say, oh, they just freeing them out, aren't they?
Right. It's not a matter of their protocol. If the Spirit hits you and you're sincere, you're going to shout if that's what you do.
Okay. You don't have no control over the Spirit. The Spirit going to do what the Spirit going to do. If the Spirit loves
you. If it's not real, then it's going to be quiet because this is a conservative church and we don't do that here, you know. So
then that means the Spirit ain't here.
And I just want to say with the raising of the finger, we're taught that while the pastor is preaching, you don't excuse yourself anyway. You just wait until he's done.
Yeah.
So even in the middle of his sermon or near the end of his sermon, we don't leave until he's finished.
No, but sometimes you're not leaving. You're going, you need to go to the bathroom badly. You know, because
you need to go to the bathroom and release yourself before the pastor comes out.
Yeah, but you go, but listen, you got to remember, a lot of people are on medications. Okay.
Well, we're taught that you go before.
Then those are the ones
first.
They
to the back.
You go
get a seat to the back so you can just step on out the door. You know what I mean? And you ain't got to come through the whole church. You know you got to keep going to the bathroom or whatever. Why would you sit up front? Sit in the back. Sit close to the door.
Yeah,
so
well,
that is less obvious.
I was on the pulpit and I had to go. I'm sorry. I had to go. All I did was put my finger up, walk from the pulpit through to the side door, went around. So that wasn't disturbing the pastor from preaching.
He was preaching?
Yes,
he was preaching.
Yes.
Yes, it did disturb him.
How?
Exactly.
How?
Because
you know that
if they're in the spirit, they don't see nothing around that's going on.
Yes,
around.
They do.
Yes, they
do. Because you snatch them right out of the spirit. You snatch them out of
the spirit
when you do that.
Well, he kept on preaching, so.
Well, he wouldn't stop for you, but I'm disrespectful. That's all I'm saying. It's
they're not going to stop for you, Evangelist Hill. They're not going to stop. But trust me, a pastor could be looking straight ahead, and somebody behind them get up and excuse themselves. They can feel that.
Oh, well.
But they've gotten to a point where they just keep pressing on. They don't turn and look anymore. Well, trust you, they don't went to the choir, remember what I said? You need to make sure your people go to bathroom or whatever they need to do before I start preaching.
Yeah, but sometimes he would be the one, like if I didn't have to go, I would hold me. But he was the one that tell me to go upstairs to his office and bring him so-and-so and so. Even though he's preaching, I go up there and I get it. I just excused myself from the pulpit and went on through the side
what
door.
What were you getting?
Up to his
what were
top.
You getting? What would you go get?
Sometimes he would leave his glasses up there or his Bible because he has a special Bible that he preaches from. And he would say, oh, Sister Sonzo, I don't have my Bible. Can you go up and get it? And I go up and get it. But he'd be still
That's not
starting.
A problem. He's
right.
already, he's
still
directed
starting.
You to do it. So it's not
yeah.
a problem.
Right.
And if it's really an emergency, whether it's medical or not, and you have to
mm-hmm.
leave, then
mm-hmm.
go. But I'm just saying, in certain churches, it's protocol that while they're praying, while the preacher is preaching, and certain other things that are going on, you don't move. You don't move.
Right.
Well, all of us knows our body, and we know where we can release before we get into that atmosphere where he gets going or she gets going so that we're not a disturbance and it doesn't take away from, what's happening in the service. But nowadays, I'm saying this because not only should we should be watching what we eat, it's because highlighting the pandemic again and all this stuff is coming back to the limelight. We got to make sure that we find a calm place, a place of peace, a place of joy, so that we don't get, and I see yesterday I looked at TV, I seen so many pills they were offering for depression.
Ooh.
Like they just telling the people, you're depressed, you're going to be depressed. You're going to go through. And that's why, food is only one of the things that can change your mood or make you happy or, make you feel a little better in the day. But there's a lot of things out there that affect your mood. All I'm saying is we have to be careful not to get caught up. You might have a headache, and they say, are you feeling a headache? Have you been sleeping? Now they're diagnosing you through a commercial that you're depressed.
Exactly.
No, you just got a headache. So the thing is, God is trying to make his people aware. Don't take on what the world says is on you. If it's not on you, it's not on you. Don't let them put it on you. You're not depressed. You don't need no help. Now they got dogs taking pills. He even showed me that. I said, what? And they, I forget what the drug was for the dog. And I'm going, oh, my God. So you got to be careful all these things you're seeing. Because what will happen is you will take on a symptom that you really didn't have. You know what I mean? Sometimes I get headaches, and that's my body letting me know, you haven't drank enough water today, young lady. And I go, oh, wow, did I drink water today? And, you know, I used to get those headaches, so I start drinking water. Or I'll get a small headache if I don't eat at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, okay. So I eat a little something and keep it going. But don't let people tell you, because you, like, if you get a cold right now, it's COVID. It's a cold. You got a cold.
So
you know,
true.
And God forbid if you just walk by something and sneeze. Oh, okay, why are you sneezing? Where's your mask? What's going on? I just sneeze. You can't even sneeze. It's COVID. So don't let people put things on you that is not on you. Don't listen to everything on TV and say, oh, yeah, that's what I'm feeling. That's what I'm, that ain't what you're feeling. You only said felt one of those symptoms. You didn't feel all that. And so God is trying to educate us so we can be more alert, watch what we eat, our intake of water, all of that. He wants us to be conscious so that we don't get into that place where, okay, we're identifying it as depression, that we feel like there's no hope, there's no way out, try to pick our life. No, there's always hope and there's always a way out. But anyway, the thing is, you find that place that makes you calm, peaceful, and hopefully it is not just food. Because if you look on TV, like I said, there are people that the only time they're happy is when they're eating. And they're eating themselves to pull it. So you got to be careful. Don't let it just be food that makes you happy. You know, there's got to be other things that take you to a peaceful place or a calm place. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that you can visit there when you feel yourself getting anxious or scared or nervous because you heard what's going on in society. And, oh, I can't go this place if I don't have a shot. And all of these things that would just affect your mood in a negative way, you got to find something positive that's going to get you away from it, your place of escape, so that you don't get stuck in that mode and thinking that there's no hope and no calmness. And believe it or not, vegetables really do make your body feel good. Not only that, they are good.
It tastes good. And you don't have to give up the meat. You eat less of it. You don't have to be a vegetarian.
Eat less of it. Just take it in portions. I think everything is okay.
I just want to say one thing before I have to go because I have something to do. They said be careful of the meat that you buy, particularly in your own neighborhood, like if you're in a black neighborhood, because a lot of the meat may have been cancerous, and they cut that cancerous spot out of it, and they sell it to us. So just try to get your meat outside of your neighborhood. You know, at a Whole Foods, I know it's more expensive, or someplace that's not in your area, because they don't care about us. And they will give us anything. They will sell us anything. Okay? Word to the wise. Don't buy from your local grocery store, because they don't care. Not them, but the ones that are packaging.
Go get some organic foods, organic meat.
Organic is nice and it's expensive and it's not always tasty. I had an organic chicken the other day. I was telling Evangelist Hilda, and Kenny doesn't do salt, so I didn't put any salt on it.
Right.
It was not like, you know, the regular one. So
exactly.
It was all right, but it wasn't. It really wasn't.
Well, just make sure you know where your peaceful, calm place is. Not just food, but other things too. It might be just going outside, taking a walk, and just enjoying the fresh air.
Oh, I love to go walk. Like this morning, I got up early and I had to go get Chico some food because I bought him food yesterday, but I left it in Deacon's car. And so when I got home, because of all the rain and everything, I had no food for him to eat this morning. So I had to run out to get food for him. And the buses is a pain in the neck on Saturdays. So I had to, I waited for the bus to go there because I had time. And so I waited, the bus came, I got on the bus, went to the supermarket, got the bag of food, and I was standing there looking to see what time the bus gonna come back. I was like, by the time the bus come, I will be home. And sure enough, I walked back from Tremont Avenue to my house, no bus. No bus. Yep. And you know, a bag of food is heavy.
Of course. Did you have your shopping cart?
No, because I only was going to get a small bag until I passed to pick up my package Sunday from the church. But of course, they didn't have the little small bags. They had like the next size to it. So I had to get that.
Chico would have got a cheese rug, and that's it. Whole list of tomorrow.
Ladies, yeah. I have to go. I love you. Be blessed.
Love you too.
I love you. Love you.
And all right,
I have
safe.
To go too. All right,
you guys, Sunday
just
safely.
Know that God is concerned about the conditions of our bodies, our minds, and our spirit. And he
Amen.
Wants us to be happy. He wants us to stay calm. He doesn't want what the world is saying to alarm us, because he's saying, just don't forget, I'm still with you. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you guys.
Have a blessed day, ladies.
But they don't waste no time getting off. And plus, we went in.